2018. You've been writing 2018 still? I've caught myself doing that once or twice. We need to update that a little bit. We moved into a new year, so happy new year to each and every one of you. We have a number of visitors with us this morning. We're so glad that each and every one of you have come to be a part of our time together this morning, and hope and pray as we worship our Lord together. We'll do so in spirit and in truth, and of course we encourage you to turn with us to the Bible verses, participate in the singing, and every other part of our service. We're just so glad that you're here. Hope and pray you can come back any time that you can. We would love to welcome you on future occasions as well. Let me just share one little quick announcement, particularly for the men of the congregation. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be getting together a list of individuals who would not mind reading Scripture during the first part of the sermons on our Sunday morning time. So if you are open to that, just let me know as you pass out the door, or else we'll write it down on a list somewhere, but we'd like to start having Scripture read at the beginning of our services for this coming year. So please, if you would be thinking about that, we would appreciate that very much. This book of your Bible, the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, is a very exciting book for really a lot of reasons, but the one I want to kind of put to the front of your minds just now is because of the fact that this particular book shows us the people of God under the leadership of Joshua are now moving in to that promised Canaan land. You may remember that way back during the time of Abraham, way, way back in Genesis chapter 12, God made a promise to Abraham that one day the land the people would enjoy would be a wide and prosperous land, that it would flow with milk and honey, and that Abraham's descendants would be as prosperous and as for multitude the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. And now as the book of Joshua opens, those promises of God are being fulfilled, and the people are inheriting the land that God had promised him way back in the book and in the time of Abraham. And by the time we get to Joshua, the people are not going back to Egypt. The previous generation to the time of Joshua, those people had considered their situation, and they really figured out that it was better for them back in Egypt. And they were saying to Moses, who was their leader at that time, well, we had good things in Egypt. We had onions and leeks and vegetables of all kind. And they had forgot about the whip, and they had forgot about the mud pits where they worked so laboriously. And those people, they wanted to go back. But this is now a new generation of people. All of those former descendants had wasted away in the wilderness wanderings over a period of some 40 years. And now here Joshua is with this new group of people, and they are ready to take possession of that land that flowed with milk and honey. The promised land being fulfilled right there into their presence. But even though that was the case, even though all of those troublesome times of those wandering years were over with, as the people were entering into the Canaan land, it did not mean that there were not any challenges. It did not mean there were not any obstacles or situations that they were going to have to deal with. They are entering into the promised Canaan land, but they were going to have to depossess the people that were there and take those lands. And of course, the book of Joshua reveals that little by little they're taking those lands. And so, although that promise is being fulfilled, the ground that they are moving into, it's still uncertain ground. There's still a lot of challenges, a lot of work for them to do. Crossing the Sinai wilderness, of those people that preceded them, oh, that was long and costly, some 40 years and thousands of lives lost. But crossing into the promised land, well, that's going to prove to be its own test as well. And so they were going from the certain to the uncertain. They were going from the known to the unknown. They were going from the familiar to the unfamiliar, moving into that promised land. And so Joshua comes to the people and he tells them this statement recorded in our Bibles at Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I encourage you to read that with me just now. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near to it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And now the last verse we'll read, verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. So verse 6 is the verse that identifies for us that now that long-awaited opportunity to actually enter into the promised land, it was taking place right then. Right here in our Bibles at Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 6. They lift up the ark of the covenant. The priests are bearing that ark, and they're going to precede the people on into the promised land. And this is such a great passage for a lot of reasons, but the one we're going to focus on is at the end of verse number 4, where once again you'll find Joshua makes a very important statement. And in the fourth verse, at the end of that verse, Joshua says, for you have not passed this way heretofore. In other words, you've not been in this land. You've not gone this way. You've not traveled into this place before. Oh, they had traveled through the Sinai wilderness and had done so for some 40 years. But only the spies, you remember, back during the time of Moses, only those spies actually traveled into the Canaan land. Now here's this new generation, and they're about to travel into this place. And so Joshua says, you have not passed heretofore. You've not actually entered into this Canaan land. The Ark of the Covenant is about to lead them there. And that Ark of the Covenant, he assures them, was going to go before them and to ensure the way that they are going to go. But even so, they have not gone there before. They had the assurance of the guidance of God. They had the assurance of the priests and Levites leading them in that way. But they've not passed this way. And so Joshua makes this comment, you have not passed this way heretofore. You're going on a journey, and you're not going to come back from that journey. You're permanently moving into the promised Canaan land. Now, as it was true for those Israelites, what I want to share with you this morning, so it is true for you and I today. Here it is, the first Lord's Day of 2019. Lord willing, the Lord has stretched out before us a segment of time. We don't know how much time that is. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 14 is a verse that reminds us that our lives here in this world are only for a brief amount of time, but ever how long that time is, we've been granted by God that amount of time. And like Joshua's people, we are moving into a time period. We're moving into situations we'll face in this coming year, and we don't know what those things are. We don't know what lies before us. We're moving from what we have known to what we do not know. From the familiar to the unfamiliar. Peter was to frame it like this in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He was writing to Christians, and they were strangers. Maybe your Bible says foreigners or aliens or words like that to describe that they are living in a place, but this place, they're only traveling through this place. Well, that's just like you and I, isn't it? We're only traveling through this world. We often sing a song in our songbooks that says, this world is not my home. Oh, that is so very true. This world is not my home. We're only living here temporarily. We only have so much time in this world. And you and I have to focus on the fact that as we live here, we, like Joshua's people, are just passing through. And so we need instructions and we need help to figure out how to live in this world for ever how much time God has given us. In another place in the book of Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, you'll find Peter using this phrase, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you." He's writing to Christians, isn't he? "Dearly beloved, I beseech you." And notice, "as strangers and pilgrims." In other words, you're just passing through. We're just passing through this world. Ever how much time God has given us, it's ours to use as we live in this world. And Peter is describing their journey and, of course, our journey as well. And so what I want to suggest to you is that the instruction Joshua gives his people who are traveling into unfamiliar places, well, that's good instruction for you and I. People traveling through this temporary, brief world to a permanent place, to that place God has provided for his own. Abraham, who did his own traveling, about him, your Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Well, that describes you and I again, doesn't it? Just strangers, just pilgrims, just foreigners traveling through this temporary world onto our eternal world. And then we find this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city." And so the Hebrew writer is reflecting upon the fact that one day that's where we are traveling to be as we are obedient and faithful to God. And so this morning, let's use Joshua's instructions about how to travel through the land, how to travel through the time that we have in this life, however much time that may be, and be able to do so successfully so that we can come to our eternal home in the after while. I want to suggest to you just two things from this passage of Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, as the instructions that Joshua is passing along to this people. First of all, we're going to have to keep our eyes on God. You want to live a successful 2019 in the eyes of God? You want to chart every single day of that day, every single moment of that day, in a way that you know you're traveling in the right direction? Well, Joshua's instruction to the people is just keep your eye on God. In verse number 3 of Joshua 3, this statement is made. "And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." I want you to notice Joshua was telling the people, you keep your eye on the ark of the covenant. In the last verse that we read, verse number 6, the priests were about to bear that ark. They were about to cross that sea, and they were about to go into the Canaan land. And Joshua says, when you see that ark move, you get up and you move along with it. Now, they were supposed to keep their distance, and the distance is referenced to here within our verses, but it was a distance so that that ark could always be in sight. They could always see where it is. Now, that ark of the covenant, that represented to the people of that day and time, that was something that was so important that it represented to those people the very presence of God himself. And so they were to follow God, basically, is what Joshua was telling these people. They were following the lead of God into their new surroundings, and it was going to be important. As they entered into this new land, you just keep your focus on God. You just keep your attention on God. You just keep your eyes on God. And I want to tell you this morning that that instruction is good instruction for you and I doing our own traveling today. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes focused on God. I don't have to tell you this, but our world is, of course, changing all the time. And it's changing in ways that are often ways that present challenges to the Christian life, that present obstacles to the Christian life. We have challenges that we have to face in our own lives personally as we live just day by day in this world. But there are other challenges. There are challenges that we face just because we are a Christian living in a non-Christian world. And so there are challenges that come up in that regard as well. And there are a lot of other challenges. Well, I don't know what those challenges are ahead this coming year, and neither do you. But we do know this. If we follow Joshua's instructions and we keep our eyes focused on God, what God says to us within His Word and how He calls us to live, then we'll be able to successfully meet any challenge this world could ever present to us. Someone said it like this one time. He said, "I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I know who brings tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow will give me, but I know who gives me tomorrow." You see, we need to understand that everything that will ever come into your life in the passing of however much time you have in this life, whatever it is, well, God already knows about it. God already is aware of it. And so if you want leadership that will never fail, just keep your eyes on God. You think maybe that's why we are told what we're told in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 7, casting all your cares on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Isn't that what your Bible says? He cares for you. He knows all about you. He knows the very number of the hairs on your head. He knows everything that will ever happen in your life. And He presents His Word to us so that we can be guided and directed in the way that is successful to our Christian life. I want you to consider this passage in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, a verse I'm sure you know well, but James makes this statement, "Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow or today we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." And then verse 14, if I can paraphrase, "You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Why are you saying all this? You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow." And James concludes by saying, "Your life," verse 15, "well, it's just a vapor. It's only here for a little while and then it vanishes away." You see, what James is telling us is that if we're not careful, we can take for granted the uncertainty of time and circumstance. And we can start making plans. We can start figuring out our year, our month, our hours, our minutes. We can start figuring those out and we can leave God completely out of the picture. And most of the time, maybe each of us arise every new day without even thinking about it. We just sort of have a mental agenda of, well, how my day is going to go like this. And my next week is going to go like this. And my next month is going to go like this. Excuse me. James, in effect, says, hold your mules. Hold your mules. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so the counsel from Scripture is, don't make your plans without God. Don't think about your future without first thinking about God, without considering what God may have for you in your life. When we break that down, what it means to you and I is that we need to be using God's Word every single day to guide us, to direct us, to show us the way that God would have us to go. Just like those people under the leadership of Joshua were told, you keep your eye on that ark. You keep your eye on the Ark of the Covenant that represented the presence of God. Just keep your eyes focused on God and you'll travel through whatever this world has to bring and you'll be able to do so successfully in the eyes of God. Now the reason that is so is because you and I don't know how to chart our life. Oh, I know we like to think that we do. We like to think we got it all figured out. We like to think we can dot every I and cross every T and things are going to go just like we think they're going to go. But the counsel of Scripture is, in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23. In other words, for as smart as we like to think we are, and for as much as we like to think we got it all figured out, we don't have it all figured out. We have to frankly admit that if I'm going to live successful in this life, I've got to keep my eyes on God. I've got to live according to His will. I've got to search out His Word and see what He says within His Word about how I'm to direct myself and how I'm to go and how am I to live every single day. We've got to keep our eyes focused on God, not on what the world may suggest. Did you know that there are over 5 billion searches on Google every single day? 5 billion Google searches every single day. Let me ask you a question. Does Google always get it right? No. Google doesn't always get it right. A lot of people think Google always gets it right. But I tell you what, sometimes Google is completely wrong. Don't ever try to go to Evie's house following Google's map. You know where you'll end up? You'll end up in the lake because it'll take you right out to the lake. It doesn't know how to get to Evie's house. Google doesn't know everything. But that's where most people go to find their direction. That's where they go with even religious questions, spiritual questions. I talked to a lady not long ago and she made the comment to me. She did not know what a Christian was, and so she searched it out in Google. Well, guess what? Google gave her the wrong answer. It opened up an opportunity to study the Bible together, but Google doesn't have the answers. God has the answers, doesn't He? The Word of God is where those answers are. There's not anything that you will ever face in your life. You mark that down. There is not anything you will ever face in your life in which there is not some direct instruction from God in this book about how to deal with that situation, or some principles or some examples that you can look at and by the Word of God determine what is the course of action that God would have you to go. It won't ever happen. There won't ever be anything like that. You want to think about maybe some sickness comes in your life. Well, what am I going to do? It's already discussed. Financial hardship, it's already in the Bible. The way you should live your life spiritually, it's already in the Bible. All of those things are already there. And that's why God tells us to keep our eyes focused on Him. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we have this. According as His divine power hath given unto us some things, a few things that pertain to life and godliness. No, you better correct me on that. It says all things, doesn't it? All things that you'll ever need to know about life, all things that you'll ever need to know about living godly in this world, it's already here. It's already been given through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. That's why the psalmist, way back before that, could write what he did in Psalm 119 and 105, "Thy word is a lamp and a light to my feet." And so this morning, let's first of all, as we look at these two very brief and simple points from Joshua, let's do what Joshua is telling his people to do. Let's keep our eyes on God. Let's follow the leadership of God. Don't be worried about what this world says is the right thing to do, the right way to live. Just be concerned about what God says and follow that in your life. Tomorrow's uncertain. I don't know what tomorrow holds, and you don't know either. But I do know if I just keep my mind on God's Word and God's will, then I'll live my life in a way that's appropriate and acceptable to Him. Now there's a second point we need to look at this morning, and we won't spend quite as much time on this one, but I want you to focus on this second thing for just a minute. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 5, Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Well, the tomorrows that he was talking about is down in verse number 13. Look at Joshua 3, verse number 13. "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up in a heap." In this verse, verse number 5, Joshua tells the people, "You sanctify yourselves because God is about to do something. He's about to do wonders among you." Well, what those wonders were is that he was going to stop the Jordan River, and the walls of water were going to stand up as a heap. Well, if I'm not mistaken, didn't God do this once before? Doesn't God have some experience in stopping up flows of water? Well, sure he did. Joshua is just now reminding the people, what you need to do is you need to sanctify yourselves. You need to consecrate yourself. It means to be dedicated to holy use. Specifically, is he talking about these people now dedicating themselves to God? To consider your life, dedicate yourself, sanctify yourself, that in this life I am wholly given over to God. And so God's instructions is you be completely devoted to me. Now that instruction that is thousands of years old, that Joshua was telling the people of his day, you be completely devoted to me, that is good instruction for you and I today. Not only to keep our minds constantly focused on the will of God, but to keep ourselves, constantly devoted to the will of God in our lives. And so here we are on the first Sunday of 2019. For you to have a successful today, a successful tomorrow, a successful week, what that's going to mean is be completely devoted to God. Completely, entirely given over to God. Your Bible frames it to us like this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, notice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I like how that's connected to verse number 2. What does that mean to be completely devoted to God? Well, look at verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't follow the mold, the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How are we going to do it? By the renewing of your mind. And thereby, living in that capacity, we are allowing God to direct us and not the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, here it is again, holiness or consecratedness in the fear of God. And then we have 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through verse 16, that tells us the very same thing. And that is, you be holy because God who called you is holy. You live a holy life because the God you serve is living a holy life. And so what that calls upon us is to be transformed from following this world and the standards of this world, and to be completely given over to God, completely dedicated to God, wholly devoted to God. It means we're going to have to live our lives in such ways that we are making sure that every single day of our lives, we're not only focused upon the will of God, but I'm trying to make sure that I've given myself over completely to God. I'm working hard towards that end. I know that you probably can't tell it from where you're sitting, but I'm actually not a marathon runner. I know that's a shock to a lot of y'all out there. I've actually been to the gym. Some of you are saying, yeah, he's probably been there one time. I've been to the gym. Did you know that there is something in our in Antarctica called the Ice Marathon? Are you familiar with that? Anybody heard of that, the Ice Marathon? You know what they do in the Ice Marathon? They run a marathon, 26 point something miles. John probably knows what it is. They run a marathon in Antarctica, of all places. Well, I can't even imagine running a marathon, let alone running a marathon in Antarctica. And the individuals that train for that, they have to train in special circumstances because the training is so grueling. I read about this fella who trains for the Antarctica Marathon in an industrial freezer. He set up a treadmill in an industrial freezer and he runs inside this freezer that's 32 degrees below zero. That's dedication, isn't it? That's dedication. You and I are in a race also, aren't we? We're in a race through this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul writes and says, you run so that you can win. He said, only one person receives the prize. You run in such a way. We're going to be just as dedicated. We're going to have to be just as dedicated as though we were training for something like that. Just as consecrated, just as focused upon the will of God, that I'm not going to let anything interfere with me living the godly life. We live like that, and I tell you what we'll do. We will have our eyes focused on God, and we will have our lives completely devoted to God. If you need some help with that this morning, maybe in your life you've not been as devoted to God as you need to be. Maybe at one point you decided that you would become a New Testament Christian and that you would live according to the will of God, but some things changed, and maybe you let the world creep in just a little bit, and the world is now kind of taking over those responsibilities and those privileges and those obligations you have to Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to make this Sunday, the first Sunday of 2019, the time that you decide, I'm going to turn my life around, and I'm going to live it completely dedicated, devoted to God. I'll be there for worship and Bible classes. I'll be there for the times that I have to assemble with the saints. I'll be diligent in my Bible study and my prayer life. I'll be completely devoted to God. If we can help you with that by listening to your request this morning for prayers to that end, then certainly we are most happy to help with that. Maybe you're not a Christian at all this morning. You've not made that decision to put your Lord on in baptism and become one of His. The Bible makes it so easy. Just believe Jesus is the Christ. Confess that belief, as the Bible teaches in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Repent and be baptized. God will add you to His church family. You'll be one of His. If we can help you with that, then why don't you come while we stand and we sing this song together.